So let us go together into the scriptures and let us open Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. It is a very important place of scripture, and today's Torah portion, Vayelech, he went. So in chapter 31, book of Deuteronomy, Moses strengthens the people and tells them to be strong and courageous and conquer the land. So let's read these verses from the scriptures, Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Actually, I believe it's very timely Torah portion for all of us today. Very timely. It's really timely. And actually, the Lord's schedule is such a great schedule. He's always in time. Everything. So, verse 6. Chazak. Let's say Chazak.
Chazak.
No, Kazak. Chazak. Chazak, be courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble before them, before your enemy. For Adonai your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or abandon you. What a promise from the Lord to us. In other translation, be strong, be bold, don't be afraid or frightened of them. The same idea here. Be strong, be bold. One of the main messages of today's Torah chapter is expressed in simple words spoken to the people. Be courageous, chazak. Do not be afraid or tremble before them. This is the main idea of today's Torah portion. Very important. But you know, as can be said, easier said than done. Did you hear this, or is it a Russian impression? It's easy to say, chazak, be strong. So please, now is your time, do that. And it's easier to say than to do. It's one thing when you are in comfortable living conditions, when nothing threatens you. You feel comfortable, and the Bible seems understandable and straightforward. Everything's fine, everything's easy, everything understandable. But when difficult moments of trial come in life, when your faith in God is tested and everything around is crumbling, how can we then not be afraid in that moment? Not be afraid. So, how do we apply this commandment in practice? Do not be afraid and not be terrified. So, how to apply it? So let's first of all, let's talk a little about fears. I want to be clear here. It's very important. Please take a note. First, I want to say that not being afraid does not mean being stupid or reckless. Let's say it together, be wise. So not to be afraid, it doesn't mean you just, here I am. I'm ready. We always need to be careful and wise. We need to take care of our families, of ourselves, of the people who surround us. This is our part. We need to be courageous, we need to be bold, but we need to be wise. Let's say together, wise. Second, we are not talking about justifiable types of fear, some of which God allows us, which lead to our self-preservation in the face of danger. So, you know, we have sometimes fears, and it's from the Lord when we fear something, and it helps us to not do something, to not go in some direction. I believe Deuteronomy chapter 31 talks here about an inner state of timidity and fear that handcuffs a person's life, keeping him from living a complete life, from going forward, from achieving his goals and conquering a land. This type of fear is the most damaging fear in someone's life. Do not be afraid. This means do not let fears, and please, it's very important here, Do not let fears settle in your heart and destroy your destiny. Do not let fears rule over decisions and actions. Do not let fears motivate you. Do not let them do that. It is very important to remember. You know, fear is helpful in small quantities. A little bit fear is good. But it is a poor counselor in life. Fear cannot be your counselor. Never. So now is the main question. How to get rid of non-godly fear in your life? It is very important. And the Brit Hadasha, the New Testament, gives us an answer. Let us open 1 John, Yohanan, chapter 4, verse 18. 1 Yohanan, John, chapter 4, 18. It's a great place of scripture here. Yeah, these young boys, they know everything. They're helping me too. They're talking to me in this secret language, you know. It's their message to me, and I'm just translating them. So 1 Yohanan chapter 4, 18. And it's a great place of scripture. Please remember it. Learn it. Pray through this place of scripture. It's an important part. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. But the one who fears has not been made perfect in love. Interesting. The perfect love drives out fear. The Bible teaches us that love drives fear out of our hearts. And I have a question. What kind of love is the Apostle John talking about? Where can we get this perfect love? Only the Lord. The perfect love that the Apostle John speaks of is God's love. Love from Him, love from the Lord. And let us stay in the 1 John chapter 4, but let us read verse 8. It's a very interesting place of scripture. The same chapter, 1 John 4, but verse 8. The one who does not love does not know God. So simple, so obvious, so short, and so straightforward. For God is love. Let us say together, for God is love. The Lord not only loves us, when we say the Lord loves you, it's not only that He loves us, but He is the very source of that love, that special love. And perfect love comes only from Him, because He is the source of love. The love of God changed our lives and our motives, our ministry, our thinking, as a result, our destiny. I remember when I came to the Lord and I was struck by the love of God. This was the moment when I put my life into His feet, when I understood His love, His deep love towards me, to me. So let's look at an example of the Apostle Paul, Rabbi Shaul. It is a great example for us. Acts chapter 14, verses 19 through 23. Acts chapter 14, verses 19 through 23. And this is a very important place of scripture, very interesting place of scripture, and very difficult place of scripture. It's not an easy place of scripture. So here's the Rabbi Shaul, Apostle Paul, preaching about Yeshua, about good news. And verse 19. But Jewish people came from Antioch and Iconium, and after they won the crowd over and stoned Paul, they were dragging him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. But while the disciples surrounded him, let's stop here. Can you paint this picture? So here's Paul preaching about the good news, about Yeshua, about salvation. And for that, he was stoned to death. So they dragged him out of the city. Here, his disciples surrounded him. Probably they were crying. What do you think? I don't think they were joyful. It wasn't a joyful moment. And here's the an amazing story. Here's his body, here's his disciples, here's Rabbi Shaul laying on the dust, stoned, wounded in the blood. Awful picture. But while the disciples surrounded him, he got up and went back into the city. I mean, I read about resurrection from the dead. It's one part of the miracle. But he went back to the city. Can you imagine? Who would do that? Can I see your hand, please? Probably you would wait for next bus and just go to Texas or somewhere else. What do you think? He just went back to the city. So his mentality was different from many people around him. On the next day, he left with Barnabas for Derbe. After proclaiming the good news to that city and making many disciples, they returned. He went back again. They returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. And here's the heart of this message, verse 22. They were strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to persevere in faith and saying, what an encouragement. It is through many persecutions that we must enter the kingdom of God. I know, you would expect from Paul saying, everything will be fine, guys. You'll be rich, you'll be super successful. Just proclaim. Just claim and take. Anything else. But he encouraging them with complete different direction. He's saying them, guys, you need to persevere in faith. Everything will be fine. I promise you, through many persecutions, that we must enter the kingdom of God. And here's the Apostle Paul, Rabbi Shaul, who actually went through death and persecutions. He is a living example for them how to keep faith, how to be strong in faith, how to trust the Lord in all circumstances of life. And you know, it's easy to trust the Lord when everything's fine. It's easy, really easy. I mean, I know how to trust the Lord when everything's fine. It's easier thing to rejoice when everything's fine. You can be joyful day and night, but when something happens, this is the moment to trust the Lord. Verse 23. When they had handpicked elders from them in every community and prayed with fasting, they placed them in the care of the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. After that event, even more people came to the Lord. Even more people decided to follow the Lord and be ministers of the Lord after that event. Because they saw example of Apostle Paul, Rabbi Shaul. They saw his faith, his trust to the Lord, his closeness with Yeshua. What a story, what a message here. It is through many persecutions that we must enter the kingdom of God. I call this message from Rabbi Shaul, the life of faith. The life of faith. Of course, the Lord is full of blessing. Of course, the Lord wants to bless us. And Rabbi Shaul, he's an example how to be successful in many things. One side, he had everything he needs. Another side, he went through persecutions. But he was faithful in all circumstances of life. Amen. Imagine when the Apostle Paul was stoned and his body was thrown out of the city and for preaching of good news about Yeshua. He not only did not stop loving God or leaving ministry, but he began to preach and serve the Lord even more than before. Even more than before. Persevere in faith. I would like to read 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let us open together. It's a very interesting, fascinating place of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It is a great place of Scripture. Verse 2, 2 Corinthians 12:2. Here's the Rabbi Shaul saying interesting words. I know a man in Messiah, whether in the body, I don't know, or whether out of the body, I don't know. God knows. 14 years ago, he was caught up to the third heaven. I know such a man, whether in the body or outside of the body, I don't know. God knows. He was caught up into paradise and heard words too sacred to tell, which a human is not permitted to utter. Wow. Some Bible commentators say that the apostle wrote this about himself when he was stoned to death, but God brought him back to life. I don't know, I can't check it. Probably I will ask Rabbi Shaul when I will see him some years ahead. But I don't know, but some commentators sure that this was the moment when Rabbi Shaul was stoned and he saw the Lord. He was in the presence of the Lord. And he received the special words, unusual words, too sacred to tell, which a human is not permitted to utter. And he was bold after that. He was bold. He was brave. He was full of courage. And he was in heaven with the Lord and heard words. He met with the Lord again. And remember, the first time it was on the way to Damascus. He saw Yeshua the Messiah. He was in fellowship with him. It's a great story. Many would have fled from this city where they had tried to kill him. But he returned there to finish the work of good news he had begun. Many would then live in fear and leave such a dangerous ministry for which there was such a great price, one's life. But Paul, Rabbi Shaul, even with even greater zeal and even more tremendous courage, continued preaching the gospel and founding new messianic congregations. And now, so when we read it, and we are comfortable in this place, for sure. We have conditions here, air conditions, we have light, we have beautiful worship, we have beautiful trumpets. I mean, thank you, worship team. We have comfortable chairs here. But think about Rabbi Shaul at that moment. He went through real things in his life. And when we see him, we can see his example, how to go through difficult times in our lives. Amen. And actually, it is not sad news. It's a joyful news. He went through it. And he is with the Lord right now. He is joyful. So good. Why? What the reason for him to turn back and come back to that city? They hated them here, him there, but he went back. So why? I believe God's love for the people was the main reason for this. The perfect love of the Lord filled his heart and cast his fear. He was filled with the love of God. He continued to preach the good news. And you know, good news comes from a good heart, from God, from heart filled of love. Amen. So now I want to answer an essential question. The questions are, how can we have such love? Where can we get it? Who can give it to us, the God's love, the perfect love? And let's open Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Romans 5, 5. And this is the same Rabbi Shaul who showed us by his example how to love people, how to love them. I have full respect for this man, full respect. He proved by his life how to love people, how to preach good news to people. He's an example for us. So Romans 5:5. And hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. Let us say, through the Holy Spirit, who was given to me. He was given to you. So the love of God, therefore, comes from the knowledge of him, from communion with the Lord, from being received and filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the only way to have God's love. And you know, when we try to find this love inside of us without the Holy Spirit, you will find nothing there. Only our ego. But when the Holy Spirit is inside of us, there's God's love.
Amen.
So today the whole world dwells in hatred and fear. But the Lord tells us, do not be afraid. Be strong and courageous. This is His words to us. And that is only possible when we have a deep relationship with God in the Holy Spirit. And this is the time to really stay close with the Lord. This is the times for us. We are going through times when we don't know what will happen tomorrow. We don't know. Nobody knows. Maybe some prophets knows, but they didn't share it with me yet. But, let's say together, stay close to the Lord. As Claude said, stay true to the Lord. Stay true to the Lord. It was his last words to us. Recognizing God and immersing ourselves in the Holy Spirit, being filled with Him, and become different. We become different, and our motives change. Let us open 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. I really like this place of scripture. It is an answer for many questions. So, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Ruach Adonai is, there is freedom. Even in jail. But if the Ruach Adonai is with you, there's freedom. But we all, with unveiling face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Imagine the joy, freedom, and deep meaning in life we get when we are standing before God and are filled with His Spirit, when we get to know Him as He is and learn to understand Him and His voice. So really, today is the time to know the Lord more deeply and trust Him. This is the time to be filled with the Spirit, to seek Him, to really have this zeal for Him. So now I want to emphasize one crucial detail. The most important thing, our strength and faith and love comes from God. You know, sometimes there are times when we are not able to change anything. Sometimes we are going through the times. Sometimes we are not even able to believe in the Lord. We don't feel that we have faith. And when we do not feel God's presence, this is the time sometimes going through in our lives. So let us open Mark chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. And let us read this place of scripture, very interesting place of scripture. Here's the man who came to Yeshua and who asked him to heal his son. And Yeshua is answering him. If you can, Yeshua said to him, all things are possible for one who believes. And we all know this place of scripture. All things are possible for those who believe. But the second part of this scripture, verse 24. Immediately the boy's father cried out, I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe, Lord. Help my unbelief. So this is an example of a man who no longer even believed, as it seemed to him. So he did not feel faith in his heart, but took the only right step. He came to Yeshua, even with no faith, with no feeling of faith. He said, Lord, help my unbelief. Help me, Lord. Help me. God's power is much greater than ours. And when we no longer have the strength to walk in faith, to believe the Bible, to pray, we need to remember the promise from Isaiah chapter 40. And let us open chapter 40 and we'll read it together. It's very important. chapter 40, verse 29. Isaiah 40, 29. Here's the promise of the Lord to us. Please remember that. And if you feel sometimes powerlessness, or you have no, like you have no faith, or you don't know what to do, where to go, this is for you. He, the Lord, gives strength to the weary, and to one without vigor, he adds might. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but they who wait for Adonai will renew their strength. They will soar up with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. You see, our strength does not come from us, not from our bravado, but our knowledge of God. He is the only source of this love, of this strength. And again, I would like to read Habakkuk chapter 3, fascinating place of scripture. The same idea. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. And if you are able to find Habakkuk in your Bible, please open it. If you have digital Bibles, it's easier for you. You just can put Habakkuk. If you want, I can spell it for you. Habakkuk 3, verse 17. Remember this place. So this time about this place, actually about our times right now, really. We are going through the same times. Even more difficult times here. Though the fig tree does not blossom, and there is no yield on the vines, though the olive crop fail, and the fields produce no food, the flock is cut off from the fold, and there is no cattle in the stalls. Verse 18, what to do in this such condition? What to do? What to do? To panic, or, you know, to be angry at the Lord, or to give up, go home and say, Lord, I want to die, it's enough for me. What to do? Yet I will triumph in Adonai. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. So nothing less except one, God of my salvation. Nothing to put trust in. Everything's failed. But I will rejoice in God of my salvation, my personal salvation. And you know, salvation in Hebrew sounds like, who knows Hebrew? Salvation is? Oh, yeah. It's good to be in Messianic congregation. Yeshua. I will rejoice in Yeshua. In Yeshua. God of my salvation. Adonai, my God, is my strength. He has made my feet like a deer's and will make me walk on my high places. So, and let's think about it. What kind of high places he's talking about? Everything's fall down, fell apart. Where to find these high places? In the Lord, in the God of my salvation. Amen. I will praise my Lord. I will triumph in Adonai. I will rejoice. And you know, the truth is, it is not possible to do in our own strength. It isn't possible. It isn't possible. But it is possible only in the Lord, in His strength. The God of my salvation, these words indicate a deep personal relationship with, full of hope and trust in God. And I would like to end with a very important thought here. Now is the time to get deeper into relationship with God. This is the time. Get to know Him. Learn to hear and trust His voice. This is the best time to do that. This is the time to get deeper with the Lord. You know, in the marriage is the same. When you have only fun, it's a good part. But when you're going through difficult time together, this time makes you know each other better. get stronger, get closer to each other. Am I right? I have a question. Do we have a couple here who has always only fun in life? Like party couple. Thank you, Lord. Oh, good. So in the morning, coffee party, in the daytime, other kind of party, in the evening, party, tea party, coffee party. Party. Some guys actually think that marriage is only party, you know. And when they get married, good. When they get married, ooh, what's going on here? Dear, where's party? Yeah. So, it's joyful time, but when you go through difficult time together, there's strength. There's deep relationships with each other. There's wonderful moments in the most difficult time. The wonderful moments of intimate relationships with each other. This time when we can strengthen each other. You know, with the Lord the same. When you're going through difficult time, this is the best moment to go to Him. To say, Lord, I want to know You. I want to rejoice in the Lord, in the God of my salvation. I heard from Rabbi Uri that he's a good guy, he's joyful, he's doing this, or he's a bad guy, probably. He told me, believe in the Lord, I know. But Lord, this is the time for me. I want to know you. I want to know you, Lord. Superficial religiosity no longer helps. You can be too religious with no zero knowledge of the Lord. But this is the time to know the Lord. Yeah, I want to pray right now and we'll continue with my message. Lord, we come to You in the name of Yeshua, Lord. And as a congregation, Lord, we want to know You, Lord. Help us to be close to You, Lord. Help us to go through our lives with You, Lord, with Your presence, Lord. Help us to find You, to not only hear about You, as Job said, but help us to see You. Help us to know You, Lord. Help us to be filled with Your Spirit, Lord. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for Your presence in this place, Lord. Thank You for the joy You gave to us, Lord. Thank You for eternal life. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Amen. This is the days when only knowledge of the Lord, deep and sincere prayers, filling with the Holy Spirit, communion with Him will lead us forward. This is the days. So we all know the instructive story with Peter when he got out of the boat and walked on the water. Do you remember this story? Here's the Yeshua, the raging sea, and here's he's walking on the water. As usual, you know, it's let's go there, guys, today. It was a miracle, and it's not like steady water. It was raging, it was windy, it was stormy. And here he's just walking on the water and the night. The first thing they thought about him, do you remember? It's a ghost, yeah. Would you like to have such a student, yeah? Who would look at your miracle, yeah, it's a ghost. Guys, how many miracles do I need to perform that you believe in me? So, and while Peter was looking at the Lord Yeshua told him, come on, Peter, come to me. You can walk on the water too. You have this faith. Come on to me. And so Peter was so happy to just jump and walk after Yeshua. He just jumped to him. And while he was looking at his Lord Yeshua, he was able to walk in faith. But as soon as he took his eyes off the Lord and began to look at problems and circumstances, his heart began to fill with fear. He stopped seeing the source of faith Yeshua and began to drown. But remember, the mercy of the Lord saved him. He took Peter and he pulled him into the boat. Amen. I would like to finish with the same place of scripture from today's Torah chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. And I would like to read it as a prayer, as a commandment, as the word from the Lord to us today. Chazak, be courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble before them. For Adonai your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or abandon you. Amen. I would like to invite Ina, my wife Ina, Rebbetzin Ina, and let us close this service. Let us stand and close this service with Aaron's blessing. And remember, Chazak, be strong. And by the way, if you are married, do parties as how much as possible. It's not against parties. I'm for parties. Okay? Okay. You'll be happier in life. Yes, in the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. So let's pray. Yevrechacha Adonai v'ishmerecha, Yair Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha, Issa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Shabbat shalom, mishpacha. Shabbat shalom.